जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदवाणी वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधाकृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम गुंड राधा गुंड गिरिगोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारका परिधाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौर प्रेम All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namam Shripadaya Krishna Prasaya Budhale Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Rinamine. Namaste Saraswadevam Gauravani Prajarine. Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashyati Deshadarine. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नं लीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोन्वया इतरदस्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तमुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वापरे ईश्वरसद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यनेत्रकृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभित्तक्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुगमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबदा भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुका सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमज्जुहाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अदितिदीर्षदां तमोऽन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनम् नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननिन्दोः മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർ മധുരിം കണികാവി കാവി കാവി. നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിന് ഇതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമതി ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാകരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദരീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാലാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. Discussions with Krishna in the Ekadashi Skandam, where you found that Krishna spoke about the soul in depth to Uddhava. And after Krishna presented the importance of self-realization to Uddhava, and eventually he said one should develop that kind of intelligence which is known as Vaisharadi Buddhi. So he spoke about Vaisharadi Buddhi, that Dunonimayam Gunasamprasudam, which eventually wipes away the influence of all kinds of Maya. Maya withdraws from such a person. Adivishuddha Buddhi, the purified intelligence, which is called Vaisharadi Buddhi. So in that process, Krishna explained about the discussion between the spiritual master and the disciple, and what happens from that. So it was then that the discussion came to Mimamsa philosophy, that Krishna wanted to tell Uddhava, because obviously at that time Mimamsa philosophy was very prevalent. In different times in the history, different philosophies become strengthened according to the according to the modes of nature and the receptivity of the people also, in different ways gets affected by, influenced by the philosophies. So obviously Mimamsa philosophy, which was very present, very strong at that time, you can see Krishna had to discuss about Mimamsa philosophy and bring out some of the misunderstanding in Mimamsakas. Among the Mimamsakas, Krishna is not saying completely rejecting Mimamsa philosophy. There are several aspects of Mimamsa philosophy which are, after all these philosophies have come from Krishna. So, but Krishna will point out the importance of soul and self-realization as the main object of life, rather than engaging in the Mimamsakas conclusions. As you know, Mimamsa means extreme or sacred inquiry. That's what Mimamsa means. Mimamsa means very sacred inquiry. So Mimamsa philosophy also, on the same lines, it is a part of the Vedas, Vedic literature. As you know, that Vedas have got two basic divisions, which we talked many times before. One is known as Jnanagandam, and the other one is known as Karmagandam. So Jnanagandam and Karmagandam discussed in the Shastram is very important thing. Even it can see that comes in Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Where you will see there that Krishna spoke to Arjuna also from time immemorial. Sa eva mayadedyam yoga prokta puradana. Puradana means from time immemorial. Time immemorial, these two systems, which one? Jnanam, Jnana yogena sanghyanam, karma yogena yoginam. These two systems have existed. Now, out of that, there was always this philosophers who followed Vedavyas, who followed Vedavyas, Vedanta philosophy, they have followed the Jnanamargam. But Jaimini, who is also a disciple of Vedavyas, took Karma Margam, to the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. So Karma Mimamsakas, or they are called as Karma Mimamsa, is also called as Purva Mimamsa. Jnanam or Karma Mimamsa is also called as Purva Mimamsa. And Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedanta philosophy is called as Uttara Mimamsa. These are the designations used in the Shastram to separate the between Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa. Uttara Mimamsa is based on the Jnana Yogam, and Purva Mimamsa is based on the Karma Yogam. So the Karma Yogam in the Vedic tradition is based on what is known as Jaiminiya Sutram. Like Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Brahma Sutram. These are just few things, information about Mimamsa before we go into details. That strictly speaking, we don't have to discuss Mimamsa philosophy today, because Mimamsa philosophy, there is no Mimamsakas in this place anyway. One thing. Secondly, that philosophy Krishna has discussed, but it is good to know that how in the throughout the Vedic tradition, how different philosophies influenced the Vedic tradition from different ways, because they all come through different sages. And the sages always will have some disagreement on the material nature, on the condition of the soul, on the condition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the position of Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Controller, Maya, material nature. All these things are subject to discussions. And sages all talk about things, and they have their own realizations. All of them have their authority based in the Vedas. Vedas are the authority. But Vedas do give this freedom for the sages to analyze it and to have their own realizations, which they have taken very seriously. Because the important thing to remember here is, Vedas have also got what is known as Karmagandam and Jnanagandam. Karmagandam, Jnanagandam, Upasanagandam. Three things there. Karmam, Jnanam and Bhakti. Accordingly, Karmam, Jnanam, Bhakti. Now, Krishna also will say in the Bhagavatam later that there's only three processes Krishna says for self-realization. One is Karmam and one is Jnanam and one Bhakti. But the question whether Jnanam or Karmam, this is the much more important question which was always existing. Now, some people like Jaimini, and Jaimini wrote this famous what is known as Jaiminiya Sutram. Like Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Brahma Sutram, Jaimini Maharshi wrote Jaiminiya Sutram. And Jaimini was a disciple of Vedavyas. So Jaimini wrote Jaiminiya Sutram, and through that he propagated this Karma Mimamsa philosophy. According to them, Karmam is important, not Jnanam. Whereas Vedavyasa Maharshi's point of view, Jnanam is more important, not Karma. This is a basic factor, basic difference of in their position. Great sages with great realizations, great understanding, much deeper in thought. So they all have to be respected. We cannot completely throw everybody out of this, because this is all the same tradition it's coming from. So Mimamsakas have got this understanding that they have they have completely depend on the Karmagandam section of the Vedas. They have gone after the Karmaganda section of the Vedas. What does Karmagandam say? Karmagandam is saying that perform sacrifices, many, many hundreds of sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas, Yajurvedam particularly, all are meant for the living entity to become happy here as well as happy life after death. So Yajurvedam and Yajnam, that comes from that. And Yajnam, as you know, is a part of the Vedic system. Krishna discusses that in the Bhagavad Gita as well, in the third chapter of Karma Yoga. Yajnyartham karmano anyatra logoyam karma bandhana. Everything has to be a yajnam, Krishna says. Otherwise it is bandhanam, bondage. That is Krishna's opinion about it. So therefore Krishna introduced Karma Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. But in the past, before Krishna introduced Karma Yoga in Bhagavad Gita, the system of Karma Yoga was based on the Vedic sacrifices. Vedic sacrifices. So it is those sacrifices which were taken by Jaimini as authority. They are more important than the Jnanagandam of the Vedas, which is the Upanishads. This was Jaimini's position. All these Vedic literature are important because they have come from Krishna. And not only that, the Jaimini and the tradition, Parampara, not only they studied Vedic hymns, normally in the modern tradition, most of those who are coming in that tradition, they will recite the hymns. By the reciting the Vedic hymns alone, it purifies the world. It is important to maintain that culture, but just by reciting the Vedic hymns, because it's based on the sound vibration of those hymns. It comes from Krishna. And they managed, the sages who have found these hymns, they have actually got their breakthrough. They got these hymns which they gave to us in the form of the Rig Vedam, Yajur Vedam, Sama Vedam, Atharvana Vedam. All the four Vedas are talking about these Vedic hymns. So through the hymns, they wanted us to, simply by reciting those hymns, to maintain the Vedic tradition was important all through the history. But Mimamsa has gone a step further, and they not only to understand the intricate and the deep thoughts behind these hymns is very, very difficult. If you look into the commentaries on the Vedas, particularly this Karmagandam side, it is so vast and it is so complicated also for an ordinary brain to capture. Even if they have got the detailed understanding of the knowledge of Sanskrit or the language, still they will find it very hard to understand the deep thoughts behind it. But still, the Mimamsakas believed in the meaning of the Vedas, and therefore they took this as the ultimate goal of life. Executing the Karma Margam or the Karmagandam properly, there is nothing else to be done. That is the perfection of life. So this difference between Jnanagandam and Karmagandam has been there from then. And Karma, you may ask the question, how come we have understood and Jaimini did not understand? That question you may ask. But that question is because you have not understood the tradition properly. That's why. Vedic tradition incorporates a lot of things. Sangyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshiyam. All that is a part of the Vedic tradition. They all have their own strong points. And they all can help for a person who is trying to realize the self. They all have their own role to play. If you study them, it can strengthen your realizations. But even if you don't study them, at least we should not think that they are all rubbish. We are the only one who is right. This will be the biggest foolishness behind it. Because that's because of lack of understanding. That is not how Vedic tradition has been surviving. Even today, Mimamsakas are still there, and they have followed that tradition for many, many generations, and therefore that sustained. And the importance of, and even those who have protected the Jnanagandam, like all the modern acharyas. When I am talking about the modern acharyas, basically the new tradition who come from the Jnanamargam, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these great personalities who have come through the Jnanagandam or Vedavyasa Maharshi's tradition, even they don't reject Karmakandam completely. This is the important thing. They don't even reject Karmakandam. Karmakandam is also has its own position in the Vedic tradition. Because if you execute Karmakandam, at least you are following the Vedic tradition. They are still better than us who don't follow the Vedic tradition even. Modern way of life, because Karmakandam brings discipline into life. It brings some discipline into life. At least we follow the authority of the Vedas. And Vedas talk about that how life should be led in this world. Devan bhavayata tena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyada. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. And it is the same principle. the human society should perform sacrifices. The demigods gets pleased with the sacrifices. In return, they provide us with all our necessities of life. This is how human society is meant to live in this world, according to the Vedic philosophy. We are not supposed to exploit each other, and we are not supposed to give pain to another living entity. Living in this way, one can progress, advance in the spiritual path. This is Krishna's instructions. So from that point of view, Karmakandam is not something to be taken lightly. It has its own its own goals to achieve. So Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita also the same thing is spoken. Yajñārthāl karmanonyatra lohoyam karmabandhanam. That karmabandhanam or bondage will come from such karmam which is not authorized by the Shastram. That's why in Kali Yugam, because we have reached such a stage now where we have completely rejected all the Shastram, we have completely rejected all the instructions by the great authorities in spiritual life, and we are taken to the path of materialistic way of life, we have more trouble and confusion from that. So that is something which you can't help. That is the way the life flows in this world. So anyway, coming back to this Purva Mimamsa, which is known as the Mimamsakas, was as the main literature is on that is Jaiminiya Sutram. On the Jaiminiya Sutram, there were a famous commentary by a personality called Shabaraswami. Shabaraswami wrote his famous commentary. On that commentary, there were subsequent commentaries from two great personalities, Kumarila Bhatta and Prabhakar. Prabhakara and Kumarila Bhatta, they wrote two other commentaries on Jaiminiya Sutrams. And Jaimini Sutram, Jaimini's philosophy is, he interpreted or he brought out the meaning of the Vedic hymns and expanded on that. That is the Jaiminiya Sutram. So in order that Jaimini, when he wrote his Sutram, even then they were not clear for many people, especially among the scholars, they were finding it difficult to understand. Because this is the difficulty of the Vedic hymns. So when Jaimini wrote his sutrams, it required another commentary, and that was written by Shabaraswami. And plus Shabaraswami's commentary needed explanation again, and therefore who came in there? Prabhakara and Kumarila Bhatta. They came over and wrote the commentary on that. So like this, that's a whole tradition behind the Mimamsa philosophy. So Kumarila Bhatta is actually Subramanya. It is another incarnation of Subramanyam. Because Mimamsakas, we have sometimes an opinion that that Buddhism left India. Buddhism left India at that time. This we are talking now about 3,000 years almost from now behind. 3,000 years ago. So there is an opinion that the Shankaracharya was responsible for Buddhism to leave India. There is an opinion like that. It's a strong opinion among many scholars. There is also another opinion that actually Shankaracharya was not responsible. Prabhupada mentions that Shankaracharya is responsible for Buddhism leaving the country and bringing the Vedas back into its authoritative position. But there is also another opinion that Mimamsakas were responsible for Buddhist religion to go. So Buddhism was developing very strongly, and if you look into the commentaries of Kumarila Bhatta and also to Prabhakara, who wrote these commentaries, all their arguments are directed against Buddhism. Whereas in Shankaracharya's commentary, there is not any reference to Buddhism, against Buddhism. There is no reference to it. So therefore, many people, actually it is very difficult to say things what has happened 3,000-4,000 years ago, what happened. They were not keeping history like today we are keeping the history. That was not their business. They were not interested in that. As far as they are concerned, history is all bogus. Completely bogus. We'll come to that, why history is bogus. So whatever it is, the conception at that time was that the philosophy of Mimamsakas, they have wrote very strongly against Buddhism. And the result was that Buddhism had to go. Buddhism got thrown out from there. And Mimamsakas became stronger. But when Vedavyasa Maharshi came, and we will see later on, that the first disciple Shankaracharya had also was a Mimamsaka. His name was Mandana Mishra. Mandana Mishra became the first disciple, and he was later on called as Sureshwara Acharya. So Sureshwara Acharya was Mandana Mishra as a Mimamsaka. Shankaracharya had a debate with him on the Mimamsaka philosophy, and in that he lost, and he accepted the discipleship of Shankaracharya and became the first sannyasi disciple known as Sureshwara Acharya. That is another story that goes along with another way. We are not concerned about that so much. What we are concerned about is how Krishna spoke about Mimamsa philosophy. That is our main concern here. Because Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is talking to Uddhava that even the Mimamsa philosophy's defects, Krishna is pointing out to Uddhava. So that is the important thing. As I mentioned before, that Jaimini's Purva Mimamsa is a very voluminous work, and there are over 1,000 Adhikaranam, they call it, in that. So their philosophy is like this. The Vedas constitute the law of Ishvara or law of Krishna, Supreme Controller. Since they are eternal and endless, the law is also eternal. All of us are the subjects of the monarch called Ishvara. The Karma Mimamsa philosophy is based on this principle. He has engaged many officials, authorities like Indra, Vayu, Varuna, Agni, Yama, Ishana and Kubera and Nirvati and so on to take care of this world. So these are the demigods who are appointed by the Supreme Lord. They need a lot to protect the creatures of all the 14 worlds. So the whole creation has to function under the laws of the Vedic literature. And then they are the judges who they are the judges who deliberate on the laws of this world and resolve doubts concerning them with the help of lawyers. If the Vedas are the law that determines how dharma is to be practiced, it's Jaimini who interprets the meaning of this law. His interpretation is Mimamsa. So you can see the Karmagandam section, the Vedic hymns, which were given to us as the laws for the world, it was interpreted by Jaimini. And Jaimini's interpretation is called the Mimamsa. So Jaimini talked about this, and we also find there like that. The another important aspect of it is this, that Mimamsaka will only accept what is discussed in the Vedas, whatever that has been given as the enjoined on us by the Vedas. They do not accept the question of Ishvara. They don't believe that there is a controller there and of who created the world. Who created the world? That question doesn't arise for them. However, they are emphatic on one point, that Ishvara is not the one who dispenses the fruits of our actions. The fruits of our actions. There are two things here. We say that the world was created, isn't it? Krishna has created this world. We see the description of creation, process of creation, primary creation, secondary creation, coming through Brahma. So, as far as Mimamsakas are concerned, the creation didn't happen, this world always existed. That's their philosophical position. This world always existed. And also, Vedanta philosophy from Vedavyasa Maharshi's side, Vedavyasa Maharshi and the Parampara traditions, all the Acharyas, they believe that the results of our actions is controlled by who is known as Ishvara, the supreme controller. That's the word. Krishna, we call it Ishvara in that form. When Krishna gives us the results of our activities, he's called Ishvara. Ishvara means the controller, who controls the results of our activities, who controls our karma, in other words. So Ishvara has this role. Ishvara has the role of Krishna. The Karma Mimamsa or Jaimini do not accept that. Jaimini believes, or their position on this is, that if you execute the karma based on what is spoken in the Vedas, you are done the right thing and the results must come. If you execute pious activities, it is wrong to claim that Ishvara gives us the fruits of our actions according to whether they are good or evil. He is not the one who metes out the fruits of our actions. It is the Vedic works performed by us that decide the fruits to be earned by us. So, in one sense, it makes a person to execute the Vedic sacrifices and also not to go out of the Vedic tradition. It has that positive thing in everyone, that one has, the people those days has staunch faith in the authority of the Vedas. Obviously, now we have no authority. We are helpless children wandering around in the world. What is right and what's wrong? We have to our authority is now United Nations. So, therefore, we have all problems. And they also don't know what their authority is. So, naturally, on a human platform, human level, if we take our mind as the authority, we are lost. This is where the whole problem is coming from. Mind we take as the authority, and based on the mind we are making major decisions in this world, isn't it? So from there selfishness develops, and right or wrong, ultimately what suits me, that is the authority. This is the stage we are at today. So naturally it shows that the lack of a proper authority is also causing a lot of difficulties in the world. But as far as the Mimamsakas are concerned, they accepted the authority of the Vedic literature. Mimamsakas believe that Ishvara does not dispense the fruits of our actions, because according to them, the Vedic works we perform give rewards on their own. You don't need to, because after all, everyone is working in this world for results, isn't it? We are also working for results only. Nobody is working in this world for others' benefit. Everyone is working for their own. Some results will be there connected with it. Otherwise, otherwise we won't be working. This is the principle. So when that activity is so result oriented, we just have to understand the underlying principle behind it. So here he's saying there, karma that brings its rewards of retribution, as the case may be, and not Ishvara. Krishna has no role in that. This is Mimamsaka's position. That Sankhya philosophy and Mimamsa philosophy alone hold the view that Ishvara is not the creator of the world, that he does not award the fruits of our actions. So this is where Sankhyam and Mimamsa differs from Vedantam. Sankhyam and Mimamsam are saying that Ishvara is not the creator of the world. We believe in the creation. They do not believe in this creation, that he does not award the fruits of our actions. So they brought about Mimamsa along with Nyayam. Nyayam means the logic, Gautama Maharshi's philosophy. They together were responsible for the decline of Buddhism. Buddhism, because on the Udayanacharya, Yatharkika, and Kumarila Bhattada Mimamsaka opposed to Buddhism for different reasons. You have to understand those days that unlike today, people question other religious processes, isn't it? Other religious processes. But in the Vedic tradition, the system was that if you have a disagreement with another philosophical doctrine, you have to study their doctrine first very well. and understand the deficiencies or loopholes in that before you can establish your own philosophical point. So Kumarila Bhatta, he had to go through this in order to defeat Buddhism. Kumarila Bhatta, although he is a Mimamsaka, he decided to go and study Buddhist philosophy from the Bauddhas. So in that process, Kumarila Bhatta, although he was a Brahmana boy, he is Subramani himself who came in that dress. Kumarila Bhatta had to take up the dress of a Buddhist monk, and he went and lived with the Buddhists in their viharas, Buddhist viharas. So many years he studied the Buddhist philosophy from them in order to understand it and properly before he writes his theory, his philosophy, Mimamsa philosophy, to present Mimamsa philosophy against the Buddhist philosophy. He spent many years studying the Buddhist philosophy. But eventually what happened was, every day in the class he used to sit and listen to, remember, Kumarila Bhatta was a very ardent follower of the Vedic tradition. Vedic sacrifices, Vedic philosophy was very close to him. He is Subramani himself. What does Subramani mean? One who protects Brahmanyam, the Brahminical culture. That was Kumarila Bhatta. So Kumarila Bhatta goes and sits and listens to the arguments of the Buddhists. Buddhists are arguing against the Vedas, and sometimes tears will come from Kumarila Bhatta's eyes when he hears the way they have blasphemed the Vedas during their discussions. Because Buddhist philosophy was such that they did not accept the authority of the Vedas. And that is why, in order to bring back Vedas back to the tradition again, the great Acharyas have put so much effort into it. This is Krishna's arrangement. Nobody has done it. This is Krishna's. Krishna wants that Vedic tradition should stay in this world. It will stay, no matter what happens. This is always like that. That the reason that either through great Acharya or great traditions, this will come back again, come back, because the it is Krishna's will, it is Krishna's desire. So Kumarila Bhatta decided to understand the Buddhism. Buddhism was spreading everywhere. So in order to defeat against the Buddhism, he took over the study of Buddhist philosophy. And while the classes were going on, quite often the Buddhist monks who were preaching against the Vedas will talk so harshly about the Vedic tradition, Kumarila Bhatta used to cry and the tears used to come out from his eyes. One day, some Buddhist monks who were studying with him noticed that the tears which were coming from Kumarila Bhatta's eyes. And naturally they had little suspicion about Kumarila Bhatta. And he used to study with the other Buddhist monks, but privately he used to go into his room and individually and alone used to stand the Vedic hymns and pacify himself, purify himself that way. So when the Buddhist monks asked him about it, why he was crying, he answered them to escape from the situation that I was crying seeing the great intelligence of these monks, how they have managed to interpret find the fault with the Vedic literature, and I was actually amazed by their intelligence in this way, and it was giving me so much pleasure hearing that. He answered them like this. But the Buddhist monks didn't believe him. So they took him to the 14th story of the building of the Buddhist Viharam, and from there they pushed him to the ground, pushed him to the floor. When they pushed him to the floor, while falling down, Kumarila Bhatta spoke like this. He said, if the Vedas are the truth, then nothing should happen to me. If Vedas are the truth, nothing should happen to me. This was a statement from Kumarila Bhatta. Kumarila Bhatta fell on the ground. Actually, nothing happened except that he got a little scratch on his eye. Later on, they asked, what was the reason that you got a scratch like this? Because after all, the authority of the Vedas is so high among the learned circles, among the great acharyas, devotees and the sages. How could such a scratch happen? The reason for that, he said, that Kumarila Bhatta used the word if. That means he had a little doubt about what he mentioned about the Vedas. Even that little if should not have been spoken against the Vedas. So therefore, he had to get out. He has to accept a small minor injury on his eyes. So this Kumarila Bhatta later on wrote his famous commentary on Mimamsakas, completely defeating the arguments of the Buddhists. And to prove that Vedas are still the authority. This is the position of Kumarila Bhatta. But Mimamsa philosophy, what has come in that tradition, carried on for quite a while, and it still existed then. So Nyayam and Mimamsa, they are basically responsible for this, the fall down of the Buddhism. Now, the question is this, that if you do good things, the results will be good. If you do evil, the consequence shall be evil. And we do the rites keep yielding fruits, and we keep enjoying them, and thus we go on and on. No God is required for all this. We should never cease to do work, because not to work is sinful. It will take us to hell. This was the position of the Mimamsakas. Mimamsakas gave a lot of stress on the importance of executing the karma. In other words, karma was more stressed by them than jnanam, than knowledge. It is an interesting thing to compare between jnanam and karma. We always have this question, isn't it? Some people who are very karma oriented, they will argue in favor of karma. Those who are jnanam oriented, knowledge oriented, they will argue in favor of knowledge. But one thing you can see, according to all Vedavyasa Maharshi and also many other great acharyas, jnanam has a higher role than karma. Difference between jnanam and karma, you can see like this. Karma has a beginning and karma has an end, isn't it? Karma has a beginning and karma has an end. Jnanam is always there. It never, sometimes it is covered by ignorance or misunderstanding. But when jnanam is revealed, jnanam remains like that. It doesn't go away. So in other words, all the time what is shining is in knowledge. Even to execute karma, jnanam is required. We see that even in material life, isn't it? Suppose you want to execute something properly, some action, you require knowledge. So knowledge is more powerful than karma. This is the position, this is actually the principle behind it. Therefore, Krishna gives importance to knowledge than karma. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, what did Krishna say? Krishna says in different places, this is the name. Shraddhavan labhade jnanam, Krishna says. One who has got Shraddha, seriousness, faith in the Vedic literature, he receives the knowledge. He receives the knowledge. Shraddhavan. Sarvam karmaghinam pata jnane parisamapyade. There is another place where Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sarva karmam, all karmam ultimately ends up in pata jnane parisamapyade. It ends in jnanam. In other words, Krishna also is given importance to jnanam, not to karmam. But karmam is a powerful factor in this world. We are all bound by karmam. We all have these karma vasanas. So therefore, Krishna spoke about Karma Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. For first 2-3 chapters, glorified Karma Yoga to a very high degree, because we are karma oriented. Action everywhere, isn't it? We want to change the world. We have to change, get it right. We have to make it going. And the wheels of the industry have to keep rolling. And the financial markets have to come back to life. And all sorts of things is going through our head. Why? Because this karma is in our head, working very strongly. And one day karma will go its way, we go our way. That's all at the end. This is what happens. But because that karma is like karma is coming from rajogunam. Rajogunam in us is so strong that Krishna will say later, sattval sanjayate jnanam. Knowledge will only come from sattogunam. Karma comes from rajogunam. If you remember, in the process of creation also, we discussed this. Rajodigaha karma paraha. This is the beauty of karma. When there is rajogunam in a person, to a large degree, he'll be very busy in this world. Karma paraha. If you ask him why you are working so hard, oh, I got so many things to sort out in this world. You don't know my problems. And if I don't do this, who will do it? They will ask this question. This is there going through their head. Karma Mimamsakas are also like that. They're also asking the same question, that who will do it if we don't do it? So they think the whole world is running because of them, like we all are thinking in the same way. So Rajodigaha Karma Paraha, karma is their main thing. So they will devise new plans, develop new ideas so that their karma can carry on. People are saying, oh, he's such a hard-working person. Actually, it's not hard work. It is his nature in him. He's pushing him. He's unable to stop it. That is the reality. Person is not able to control himself. The Rajogunam is pushing him to work. Krishna is saying that in the Bhagavatam. Rajodiyaha karma varaha. And what is the beauty of that? Dukheja sukhamanina. That the result of all his so-called karma is all distress at the end. And when that distress is unbearable, he says, after all, life is like this, isn't it? Dukheja sukhamanina. That even he will take the distress what is coming as sukham. He can call, he will interpret it like that. He is only getting distress day after day. Krishna will beat all these arguments later in the Bhagavatam. We'll come to that. Krishna's arguments are so sound that Krishna will say, fool does not understand what his position is in this world. Krishna's position is, Krishna talks about this very strongly. But Rajodiyaha karma varaha dukheja sukhamanina. This is the nature of karma. So karma is something not to be taken as the ultimate goal. This is the instruction from the Shastram. Shastram is telling us, jnanam is important, not karma. But karma has to be handled properly. We cannot escape from karma. It has to be executed in the proper way. Therefore, karma yogam was spoken as a stepping stone before bhakti yogam and jnana yogam in Bhagavad Gita. That you can see. So here, Mimamsakars are saying that the happiness that you receive from, that the Upanishads speak of jnanam and the Brahman. What are the Vedas? Vedas are sound. They are made up of words. Why did they come into existence? To tell us about the things that we do not know. The Vedas constitute the Shabda Pramanam, or sound vibration, which speaks about things that cannot be perceived by the eyes and are beyond conjecture. Their purpose is not to tell us about matters that are of no use. All words serve a twofold purpose. They bid you do this or do not do this. So Vedic Upanishads are telling us that talks about the knowledge. Things which we do not know. It is that knowledge that is spoken in the Upanishads. So, in the Mimamsaka tradition, they have that the Jnanagandam and Karmagandam exist in the Vedas, and Karmagandam helps a seeker in his early stages. The performance of rites creates inner purity. That was the purpose of Karmagandam. To execute Karmagandam in such a way that it will create inner purity and takes him to Ishvara. Karma performed for the sake of karma leads a man nowhere. This is important. Karma performed for the sake of karma leads a man nowhere, except that he gets reaction and he gets bound from that. These are all very subtle things of human life in this world. When we are in a such gross level, we have questions about everything, isn't it? We don't accept the authority of the Vedas or the Vedic injunctions. We have completely gone far away from that. Therefore, we have to suffer. We have to accept the consequences also. But important thing is, the Karmagandam has a purpose. The purpose is for executing Karmagandam, it develops inner purity. One becomes qualified to receive the knowledge what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita, Ekadasha Skandam and in the Upanishads. So becoming qualified for that, one has to execute Karmagandam. Now that Karmagandam spoken in the Vedic literature cannot be executed today. Therefore, Krishna handed over to us what is known as Karma Yogam in Bhagavad Gita. We don't want Karmagandam, we don't want Karma Yogam. We want to have karma only. This is why we are here like this. We suffer day after day, And we are asking why Krishna is not listening to us. I prayed so much, so many months I've been praying and praying, and I offered this and I offered that, but all the results what's coming to me is like this. Is Krishna exist? Is a God exist? We don't follow anything what Krishna has told us to do, and then we expect that everything Krishna should do for us. I mean, just like we say that I have my own agenda, and if Krishna can help me to execute my agenda, he is good. If Krishna can't help me, then we may as well pack up and go. This is the point. So, the Vedas are performance of rite creates inner purity and takes him to Ishvara. Karma performed for the sake of karma leads a man nowhere. The Vedas speak of the sannyasin stage of life in which the ascetic, as he attains the Paramatma, becomes the Paramatma. The Acharya spoke in this way to Mandana Mishra, converted him to his point of view and gave him initiation to sannyasam. So, Mimamsa is called Karma Margam since it teaches that karma is all. So it's called Karma Margam. But karma here does not have the same meaning as in Vedanta, which speaks of three parts, karma, bhakti and jnanam. In Vedanta philosophy, karma is not performed for the sake of karma and is not an end in itself, but consecrated to Ishvara without any expectation of reward. So from the Vedavyasa Maharshi side position, and in the tradition of all the Acharyas, whether it is Shankaracharya, Manjacharya, Madhvacharya or Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them, they have accepted this. Karma is not an end in itself, but performed to please Ishvara without expectation of any reward. This is how it should be done. Otherwise, it's not Karma Yogam. This is a very important principle in life. Not only from the Bhagavad Gita point of view, even all the Acharyas agree on this point, that if karma is not performed without expectation of any reward, or if you take reward from the karma, that karma won't purify. This is also Karma Margam or Karma Yogam. It is this view of karma that Krishna expounds in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Karma Margam of Mimamsaka, there is no bhakti. This is another important point. In the Mimamsaka's belief, that the rules are already laid out from the Vedic point of view. There is no bhakti involved in that. It's more on the ritual side. That execute the karma, what is the karma yoga, what the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic, in the Karma Kandam, precisely the way it's been spoken, and then you will get the result. There is no bhakti in there. Whereas, karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita is bhakti. That's what Prabhupada calls as action in Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? Action in Krishna consciousness means it is performed for Krishna's pleasure in a such a way that by executing that karma, we get purified. That's the benefit. We get purified by executing karma in that way. But all the same, even though it is like that, Vedic rituals create well-being in the world. Because it's coming from the Vedas, it has benefit for the world, lead to a disciplined and harmonious social life and bring inner purity to the performer. See, Karma Yogam, even if you execute from the Vedic standpoint, from the Vedas, even that can bring purity to us, provided it is executed in the proper way. What is that? Vedai karmani sarvani abhala bharadaya varnidani. While executing the Vedic sacrifices, the understanding is that it is not with the intention of going to the heavenly planets. Rather, it is for the sake of purity. If it is executed in that way, even the Vedic rituals, Vedic karma, also will purify a person. As much as karma yogam or action in Krishna consciousness executed for Krishna's pleasure without expectation of any result, that will also purify a person. That means karma yogam in Bhagavad Gita is what is spoken, karma yogam with bhakti. Karma Yogam in the Vedic literature is Karma Kandam, which is performance of sacrifices that will also purify a person if it is executed without expectation of results. So without expectation of results is important in either case, whether it is from Karma Kandam from Vedas or Karma Yogam from Bhagavad Gita. If we don't accept these principles, then you are completely out of line, completely gone away. You are doing something on your own according to your mind. It doesn't help anyone. It's just like it becomes a factory-like activity then. There's no underlying principle understood. The underlying principle is this. കർമ്മകാന്ഡം ഇൻ ദ വേദിക് ലിറ്ററേച്ചർ, ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എക്സിക്യൂട്ടഡ് അഫലഭരതയ വിതൗട്ട് എക്സ്പെക്ടേഷൻ ഓഫ് റിസൾട്ട്സ്, ഇറ്റ് വിൽ പ്യൂരിഫൈ എ പേഴ്സൺ ആൻഡ് ഹി ഗെറ്റ്സ് ക്വാളിഫൈഡ് ടു റിസീവ് ദി ജ്ഞാനയോഗം ഓർ ജ്ഞാനയോഗം ജ്ഞാനമാർഗം ഓർ ഭക്തിമാർഗം, ഹി ബിക്കംസ് ക്വാളിഫൈഡ് ഫോർ ദാറ്റ്. ദി കർമ്മയോഗം എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ഇൻ ദ ഭഗവത്ഗീത വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ഗിവൻ ടു അസ് ബിക്കോസ് കൃഷ്ണ അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ആഫ്റ്റർ കൃഷ്ണസ് ടൈം that people will find it very difficult to individually execute these big sacrifices, and slowly with the appearance of age of Kali the social structure was changing, and therefore Krishna brought this karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita for our benefit, but the underlying principle remains the same: expectation, no expectation of results. This is the very fundamental understanding. Mimamsa holds karma to be a goal in itself. Vedanta regards it as a means to a higher end. This is the position. Karma Mimamsa or Mimamsaka, Jaiminis people, they believe that that is the final goal, executing these sacrifices to the perfection, and that itself is the goal. This is the way they took it. But Vedanta philosophy, the Vedavyasa Maharshi has not rejected Mimamsa philosophy. Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying that it is a means to a higher end. The end is more important. So therefore you can see the importance of Mimamsa philosophy in the Vedic tradition. Mimamsa is of great help in understanding the meaning of the Vedic texts. For this reason, many scholars, including those opposed to the Karma Margam, have made a thorough study of it and also written books on it. There are many great personalities who have come in the Mimamsaka tradition. So this Mimamsaka tradition is not something to be rejected outrightly, but if you understand that it is a part of the Vedic literature, you can see why it is important. So it is a part of the Vedas. It has its own importance or significance in the Vedic tradition. Now we'll go into what Krishna has spoken about this Mimamsa philosophy. If you look into chapter 10, verse. Verse 14. This is where Mimamsa philosophy is spoken in the two verses, 14 and 15. Ateisham karma kartrinam bhoktrinam sukadukkayoho nanatvamad nityatvam lokam kalam agamam atmanam lokakalagam atmanam. Their point is, ateisham karma kartrinam, that those who are executing the karma, bhoktrinam sukadukkayoho, and those who are experiencing the results of their karma, whether happiness or distress, whatever that may be, that those who are doing that, or the jivas, the living entities, nanatvam adha nityatvam lokakalagam atmanam. He says that logam, that means this world, kalam, the time, shastram, the scriptures, and alma, the soul, all of them are permanent. So their argument is this, that they do not agree that there is only one soul. They believe in the multitudes of different souls. And that one important thing is, Krishna will say this later, when the knowledge increases in a person, his actions will come down. When actions increases in a person, knowledge will come down. That is the relationship between jnanam and karmam. That, but among them, Mimamsaka believes that karmam is more auspicious. Kamam is more superior to jnanam. That is their position. They are saying that everyone is doing different kinds of karmam, and everyone is feeling happiness from that, from different activities. Same thing is not giving pleasure to everybody. Different things give different pleasures to different people. And everyone knows that I, superior, the living entity, and he knows that he is a soul, and the soul is in every body. that but they are all independent. Kartratvam and Bhoktratvam, that means doing something. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. It is a part of this creation in us. Then for us, we say there are two things, isn't it? One, within every body, there is a living entity which is Jiva. And then there is a super soul, Krishna. Paramatma is situated in everyone. They believe that Jiva is there, but there is no Paramatma in everyone, in anyone. Therefore, there is no need to develop detachment from this world, no renunciation. Because in order, they saying that you don't have to after death go to another world. When we talk about another world, is in spiritual world, as we say, that we go there to enjoy the happiness and distress. They are saying that everything is here right now. That they are saying that this material world itself is a place meant for experiencing that happiness here. And then the time you get for that, opportunity you get for that, is the time. And and how to achieve that happiness in this world, that knowledge is given to us by the Shastram, which is called Agamam. And the person who experiences that is Jiva. These things are always existing. If it is not so, if it's all this not true, everyone should have detachment or renunciation at the same time. In other words, they are going against the philosophy of the oneness of the soul. They are talking about that. That so from their point of view, that these things are permanent. That the Jiva is permanent. Jiva is permanent, and also the world is permanent, and the Shastram is permanent, and the sacrifices are permanent, and also the experiences are also permanent. They also say that even if we lose this body, what is the problem? They are saying, you will get another body, why worry about it? Why do you have to think about going somewhere else without the body and all that? So they look at it in a different way. This is the Mimamsaka's conclusions from the Vedic literature. Then, manyase sarva bhavanam samstha upatigi yatha tattada agriti bhedena jayade vidyade jadhim. That all objects in this world, it depends on, it says here, our intelligence also according to where they have come out from. Tattad agriti bhedena. Everything accepts different forms. And if you think that all the enjoyment I have in this world is going to come to an end, they are saying the opportunity for enjoyment still exists in this world. Only thing is, you have to leave your body and come back in another body, but the opportunity is still there. This is their position. They don't believe that you have to go somewhere else to enjoy like this in a spiritual world or anything. But and there is a lot of distress in this world, they do not believe so. That they are also saying that the world will always be like this. Pravaharuvena. Pravaharuvena means just like if you stand near a river and watch, water is coming from the upstream and water is flowing down from the, water is going away from the downstream. But as much as the downstream water is going away, the upstream water is coming in. So similarly in this world also, we keep on coming, enjoying, going, coming, enjoying, going in this way. They also believe that if sacrifices are executed properly, you can go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there. So where is the problem? That's what they are saying. So instead of enjoying all these things, you are talking about to us something which is very vague. That means, in other words, about spiritual world and going somewhere else, and talking about all other the difficulty of developing a knowledge which is not even very clear to us. So this way, Mimamsakas think like that. Even in the modern world, this thinking is quite strong, isn't it? Many of the people have become atheists, or they have taken the materialistic way of life because they could not have any faith that there is a life after death, and that by executing this life properly, they can reach a situation free from all the distress of this world. Shastras are talking to us about that, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is saying, Parastasmadu bhavanyu vyaktu vyaktan sanadana isha sarveshu bhuteshu nashet suna vinashyati. Krishna is saying that there is a superior nature. Now, that is difficult for many people to accept it. So they can fall into this karma mimamsa. Karma mimamsa is a little bit infected with this materialistic thought. So because it is like that, sometimes people get attracted to many things like this in this world. Mainly because our faith in a superior existence or crossing over these problems of material life is not so convincing to ourselves for many people. They take the shelter of so many things, so many other things in the Shastra. Just like we know from you have heard that Krishna will talk about this later, that different kinds of mystic powers, as they call it, the siddhis, isn't it? These mystic powers are attractive to people. Why is that? Because they have not understood what Krishna is talking about the mystic powers. They have more taste for the mystic powers than Krishna, in other words. This is why they get diverted into mystic powers, and in that process they get attracted by the mystic powers. They start thinking that let me develop some mystic powers now. Leave Krishna now. Krishna is too much for me. I can't handle Krishna. But take it, it is not so easy to get mystic powers also. If somebody is thinking that, oh, this is something look genuine and realistic, and if I have some mystic powers, I'll be alright. I may not have to do anything else. Krishna will completely defeat this argument later when it comes to, while talking to Uddhava about mystic powers. Uddhava will ask Krishna about mystic powers. The other Aishwarya Siddhi, they are called Aishwarya Siddhi. So, what are the major types of Aishwarya Siddhis? And the main category of 8 and the another 16 of the subsidiary ones. And Krishna will discuss that in depth later with Uddhava. So at that point, and Krishna will say to Uddhava that don't fall into this trap of mystic powers. This is not, human life is not worth wasting for all these things. There is a beautiful example about that. There was one great sage who was living on one side of the Ganga River. So once it so happened that one of his disciples was living on the opposite side of Ganga River. So every day he used to cross the river and come to see his spiritual master for discussions. And this continued for a long time. Once it so happened that he was waiting for the boat to cross the river. Ganga River is quite wide and you require a boat, especially in the rainy season when there is floods in the river, to cross the river. So waiting for the river boat, he saw one yogi who had come there and he started walking over the water to the other side. As soon as he saw this, he had lost complete interest in the Shastram, in the spiritual master, everything. He started thinking, if I could have that power, how nice it would be. This is what he was thinking. So he goes, as soon as he got the boat and crossed to the other side, he was still looking at him in adoration, seeing this yogi's great success. He goes to his spiritual master, and he got delayed that day, in fact. So spiritual master asked him about it, and he said, the reason I got late was I saw this, and I wish I had these mystic powers. This has completely overwhelmed him. So the spiritual master, who was well situated in realizations, he told him, please bring over that yogi here. Let us talk to him and find out how he managed to attain this spiritual master. So this siddhi. So he goes and brings this yogi to his spiritual master and they had a discussion. The spiritual master asked the yogi, how long did it take for you to come to this perfection of yoga, of crossing the river while walking over the water? He said, I have started this at 18, now I'm 58. That means 40 years of practice of this yoga system, 40 years of practice of yoga system has helped him to come to this stage of perfection of yoga. So the spiritual master told him, 40 years of life you have wasted to do this. How much does it cost to cross the Ganga River by boat? And to attain this, which was worth about 5 rupees or 10 rupees, whatever that was, that is what it costs. That is what the spiritual masters understand. Because people who understand Shastram, they will not be deviated by all these things. These are distractions from spiritual life. So similarly, there is another attraction from Mimamsakas. Mimamsakas are offering you tremendous happiness in the heavenly planets. We'll come to that later. So while enjoying those heavenly planets, you may have to make a decision whether to go for siddhis or to go for the happiness in the heavenly planets. There also there is a problem. Even Krishna is giving you so much choice now. So apart from the spiritual world is, we don't want it. So that's why we are here. But even here, Krishna is saying you have these two options. Either go for siddhis or go to the heavenly planets to enjoy there. And many, many people in the past, the performance of this karmagandam was such that they executed this karmagandam with this intention of we go there, enjoy ourselves, then chine punye martelogam vishandi. After you have enjoyed your life there, one day Indra will give you the release note from there and you have to board the flight back here again. So at that time you will tell Indra like this, I'll go home, that means to this earthly planet, I'll perform sacrifices again and I'll come here once again. You will, while saying goodbye to Indra, you will come back with these words. So while coming back, you are thinking again that we'll execute karma again here, karma, the sacrifices, and again I'll come back there. The only difficulty here is, just like when you are coming to the rich countries, if you are coming with the poor country's currency, you can't live very happily there for very long, can you? Because everything is so expensive in the rich countries. So if you bring the currencies from the poor countries, you will have a lot of difficulties unless you earn in the rich country to spend as much as you want. So therefore you will notice all the businessmen from the poor countries, they come to rich countries to do the business and establish their business here than in the poor country. Because they know from poor countries whatever profits you make, ultimately they will not grow as big as the rich countries. So because it is like that, when we execute karmam, the sacrifices here, and the results what we get from here, when you take to the heavenly planets, there is not much value for it. So you may think, I spent so many years working so hard here to get to carry to the heavenly planets, but when you go there, Indra is going to tell you that your currency is not very much in demand here. There is not much demand for your currency here. Therefore, for the money what you have brought, this is a very short time you can have here. But then he has to accept that because you got there and a few days you can enjoy and come back here. It's just like our holidays, isn't it? We work one whole year for 2 weeks holiday. This is very much similar to that. 50 weeks of working, we save up for 2 weeks holiday. And we blow the whole thing in 2 weeks, come back and start the whole 50 weeks work again. Very much something similar to that, this philosophy. So here, Krishna is saying here, मन्यसे सर्वभावानां संस्था औत्पत्तिः यथा तत्तदागतिभेन जायते विद्यते च भि. That Mimamsakas are saying, don't create a controller, Ishwara, unnecessarily. That when people are experiencing happiness and distress, so be it. So what? That it is a reality. Happiness and distress is a reality. And this is not something that something you can take it away from them. Therefore, they are not accepting that the soul by nature is consciousness, knowledge, and blissful. That understanding, they are not accepting that. That they are saying that vikriya jnanarubasya na nityatve virolsyate. That although knowledge gets transformed in some places, that Shrutis are saying that it is not permanent. Therefore, the senses are always available, and without senses, you cannot enjoy anything. Therefore, Vimamsakar say, saying that karma must be performed. So in other words, they give more importance to jnana and karma than jnanam. Evam apyanga sarvesham dehinam deha yogadaha kala avayavada sandhi bhava janmadayo asakrat. Then, Krishna is now going to find the defects in their philosophy. Evam apyanga sarvesham dehinam deha yogadaha. Krishna is saying here, that once you have a material body, whatever it may be, material body is a material body at the end, isn't it? This is how Krishna begins. Material body is, after all, it's a material body. What is the result? The moment the soul has a connection with the material body, it has to accept what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, birth, death, old age and disease. So, because it has to accept birth, death, old age and disease, Krishna is saying here, how can you say that there can be perpetual happiness in this body? This is the first point. Yatra yatra sharira parigraha tatra tatra dukkham. As long as you have a material body, it means you are bound to receive distress in this life. That is, the nobody can free for themselves from distress so long as they have a material body. Therefore, Krishna's point is that the Mimamsakas also accept that the soul has a jiva, has a connection with the material body. There is no disagreement on that. So if it is like that, Krishna is saying there that birth, death, those things are always there for the material body. That therefore, it is important, Krishna says there, that the you cannot come out of distress. You cannot come out of distress. Therefore, you are never free from distress. Just like we say that when we get sick for this material body, we say, my body is sick with this illness. Say, for example, diabetes or cancer or this or that, whatever it is. But the fact is, the body itself is a disease. This is where it's coming from. That the material body, what we have, as far as Krishna is concerned, material body is a disease. So disease for the disease has come. That's what it is. Vyadhi. Vyadhi means disease. So already you have got a disease on which you have got some other disease. So there is nothing to feel bad about it when a disease comes. Most of the modern world works on the principle that because material body is supposed to be perfect, and when a disease comes, we say that immediately that the, oh, my, I got sick because I got this disease. Because I was perfect, I was healthy, there's nothing wrong with me. This is how we talk about it, isn't it? But as soon as something starts somewhere, now this new thing called swine flu starts somewhere. So immediately the whole world is shaken, isn't it? Why is that? Because inside he knows that his own body can be subjected to all that. That's the fear, isn't it? Then we start finding out, inquiring what the BBC says about it, and what are the symptoms, and what causes this, and things like that. We inquiry starts further, and all the departments of health in all over the world start getting involved in this, and the scientists go into research to find the injection, next injection for the stopping the illness. Like this, this whole cycle begins along with this. So important point to remember here is that material body itself is a disease as far as Krishna is concerned. Anityam asugam logam imam prapi bhajasvam. Krishna is saying here that the body very nature is temporary. And as long as you have a body made of material elements, you have to accept these miseries also. That is the conclusion. Atra vikarmanam kartu asvatandram je lakshyate bhoktuscha dukha sukhayoho konvarto vivasham bhajet. Krishna is saying here that atrabi karmanam kartu, the person who is executing the karma, karta, I am the doer, and who is experiencing the results of that, dukha sukhayoho, that bhoktuscha dukha sukhayoho, one who is experiencing the results of his own activities. Punyartho yasham bhajed. He is saying here, you don't understand his position. Mimamsakas are saying, execute the karma and get the result. Krishna says, no. No, it is not like that. You can see from our own life. Sometimes we want to do some things. We are unable to do it. Isn't it? Very difficult to do certain things which we want to do it. Often you hear this. People come to hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. They hear the message from Krishna's logic and they understand Krishna's point of view, but unable to do anything. Unable to do anything. Why? That's what Krishna is saying here. Asvatandriyam jalakshyate. Our all position in this world is we have no freedom. It's called paratandriyam or asvatandriyam. Asvatandriyam means we are all tightly bound by certain ropes. What is that rope? The three modes of nature. So long as we are bound by the three modes of nature, even though temporarily you may get some idea, I'm going to leave my job, I'm going to take sannyas and go to Himalayas and all that, it will never happen, don't worry about it. Sometimes husband, after fighting with the wife, tells the wife, I'm taking sannyas now, I'm going tomorrow. So before he gets to the railway station, he changes his mind, comes back. Why? That's what Krishna is talking here. Asvatandriyam jalakshyate. He has no freedom, he is controlled, because he has no freedom to do anything what he wants. Krishna says this. Why? Because Mimamsaka's logic is everybody has the freedom to do what they want. Everybody don't have the freedom. Krishna says they are all bound by this energy, material energy, three modes of material nature, and also their own karma. Bhoktuscha dukkas kartrabhi karmanam kartu asvatandriyam jalakshyate. Bhoktuscha dukkas bhayoho ko nvarto vivasham bhajen. Then such a person, Krishna is asking, is he going to become happy in this world? Never, Krishna says. Because he will continue with his independent ideas, but it is never going to materialize. Because what Krishna is saying here, whenever we are performing any activity in this world, only if Krishna sanctions it, the result will come. Otherwise, the result need not come. This is Krishna's point. And the success of any activity is if the result giver, Bhaladhadava, or a person who gives the results is Krishna. That is the... At different times, living entities are forced to act in certain way and forced to accept the results from that in the form of distress. That jiva, the living entity, has no freedom. In different times, at different activities, he is completely submitted or subjugated by the law and according to act in that way. If it is like that, what happiness can he have? Therefore, the doer and the enjoyer, to simply believe that it is permanent and truth, is not going to give you any relief from the distress. This is Krishna's point. Atravi karmanam kartu asvadandram jalakshade bhoktuscha dukkha sugayoho konvarto vivasham bhajet. Then, na dehinam sukham kinjil vidyade vidushamabi tadhaja dukham moodhanam vrudha ahangaranam param. Krishna says here that vidushamabi, even those who are knowledgeable, even if he has got the knowledge, but he has got the material body, sometimes he doesn't get any happiness in this world. Na vidyade. Similarly, you find people get happiness, and knowledgeable persons who have got good understanding, proper understanding, they also seems to get distress in this world. Isn't it? People have got proper understanding of the soul, spiritual life, everything, they seems to get distress in this world. Similarly, some fools who have no idea about anything, they seems to get happiness also in this world. How can this happen? Krishna is asking. That mudhanam vrudha ahankaranam param. The only cause for this is his false ego. That's all. Why false ego? It is not proper to say that there is no happiness. Some people have the capacity to execute karma properly, and it is not proper to say, because I did not execute the thing properly, therefore I did not become happy. You can't say like that. Krishna is saying there, because of this reason only, that some people, they have knowledge, but they seem to get distressed. Some people, they don't have the knowledge, but they seem to thrive in this world. Happily, they carry on with this life. Why does this happen? That's Krishna's point. That, in fact, if really there is no happiness, what's the point in posing yourself to be happy? Krishna is asking. Tadaja dukkha moodhanam vritha ahangaranam param. Ahangaram or false ego, is that giving you this feeling of happiness and distress. Nothing else. Most of us are happy. For example, you buy a car, for the first 3-4 days you are very happy by seeing the car, looking at it, ownership of that, isn't it? I own that Jaguar or BMW, and you keep thinking of I'm some important person in this world. Look, I got a BMW or Jaguar. This is false ego giving you that happiness from inside, nothing else. This question will always come, where is the happiness? Happiness is in the person or happiness is in the object? Majority of the people think that the happiness is in the object. Actually, happiness is not in the object. Happiness is in the person. Happiness is in the person. So that's what Krishna is saying here. The fools also are happy in this world. Why? Because vṛdhā ahaṅkāraṇam param, if you have got a lot of false ego, and if you are winning something here and there, you will obviously be very, very happy person in this world. But that's not Krishna's happiness, what he is talking about. Yadi prapti mighadam jam janandi sukha dukkhayoho tepye dhana vidur yogam mrityurna prabhave diyadaham. Then, some people know that the cause of happiness and distress, how to achieve, how to become happy, and how to destroy the unhappiness. But even if they know about it, ultimately tepya dhana vidhur yogam mrityurna prabhaved yathaham, that how to escape from the death, they also don't know about this. That they also have the fear of death and the fear of old age and disease. They are also not free from that. As we finish our youth in this world, most of the old age is thought about what will happen before death, isn't it? That's how the old age is spent. Although externally they may tend to act in a way to maintain their body in this world, basically whole retirement age is just waiting for death, nothing else. And in that time, that the retirement period, we are not making any more plans. Plans are all finished by then. Then the plan continues for how to face the death. What will happen to me tomorrow? As soon as you meet somebody and talk to him and he says, oh, I got diabetes, immediately you go to the doctor to test, have I got diabetes first? This is the next thing what you do. Or if the doctor says, no, you haven't, then you want to get it tested in another 2 or 3 laboratories to confirm that he is right, what he has told. So why is that? That fear of death is very much there, and the fear of disease also very much there. So these situations, Krishna is saying, so long as birth, death, old age, disease, and a material body one has, Krishna says, where is the happiness? This is Krishna's point. Where is the so-called happiness Mimamsakas are talking about? So Krishna is saying here, yadi praptim vighadam ja janandi sukha dukkhayoho te pyadhana vidur yogam mrityurna prabhaved yadaham. That one cannot, so long as this thing called death is hanging over our head every minute, every time, any moment you can fall into that, and when we are conscious of that, where is the question of happiness, Krishna is saying. Then in the next verse, Krishna gives an example. Konvarta sukhayatyenam kamova mrityurandige aghadam niyamanasya vadyasyavana tushtidaha. Konvarta sukhayatyenam kamova mrityurandige. That many things gives you happiness in this world. Many things gives you happiness in this world. Krishna is talking about now the Karma Mimamsa's philosophy. That you say you are going to become happy in this world. And suppose I offer you koinvartha, what artham kamam? That is the two things which makes us happy, isn't it? Money and the sense enjoyment. Koinvartha sugayatena kamova mrityurandige. But when one is experiencing death, what kind of happiness can he get from that? This is Krishna's point, that not even a minute there is any happiness. The way it is spoken here is kamova mrityurandhike aghadam niyamanasya vadyasevana tushtida. Krishna says to Uddhava, look at this way. Someone who has been condemned to death is going to be hung tomorrow morning. Say tomorrow morning he is going to be hung. Say normally the time for hanging is about 5 o'clock in the morning, because it's a quiet time and you can leave this world peacefully. Well, in the Brahma Muhurtam itself, if you get hung, it's good. At least you can get out of this body. So Krishna is saying here, koinvartha sukhamitheva. You think that you are not subject to death. Actually, every one of us, as far as Krishna is concerned, is ready to be slaughtered. When we see they taking the animals to the slaughterhouse, many places to the slaughterhouse, they take different animals to the slaughterhouse. What are we thinking? We are okay. This is poor animals, we say. We say poor animals. And we? First class men. Say intelligent. Koinvartha sukhamitheva prayo va mrityurandhike aghadam niyamanasya vadyasevana tushtida. Krishna is saying that this misunderstanding has to go from our head. They are being slaughtered. We are also slaughtered by Krishna. Krishna is slaughtering us one day. Exactly the same way. Only thing is, we are not all slaughtered at the same time. We are all slaughtered at the same time. Sometimes separately. But eventually we are going to get slaughtered. That's the fact. We have nothing we can do about it. And this person is saying that I can be happy here. What kind of happiness can you have? This is Krishna's question. Aghadam niyamanasya vadyasyevana tushtida. So, a person is going to be hung tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. The judge has made the decision, is going to be hung tomorrow morning. So this evening, the jailer, goes to the criminal and says to him that, look, you're going to be executed tomorrow morning, but I can't do anything about that. It has to be done. But in order, now that you are leaving this world, can I do something for you that will make you happy? He says to him. He's asking that prisoner, who is going to be executed tomorrow morning, he says to him, can I do anything? Tell me what you want. A nice feast? What kind of feast? What all you want? You tell me anything. Everything can be organized for you. And have this good feast before you going to be killed. You're going to be hung tomorrow morning. Or you want to enjoy something else in this world. So different people have different perceptions on enjoyment, isn't it? So is there anything else we can do for you so that you are happy while leaving this world? He says to him. What will he answer? Will he say, I will have so many chapatis and so many sabjis and so many sweets and so many puris and sweet rice and all these things? No. The reply from most of these people will be, instead of making it 5 o'clock, can you make it right now? At least I don't have to wait till morning, go through this unnecessary agony, what I have to go through. That is what Krishna is pointing out here. Because our mind is like this. Koinvartha sukhamitheva prayenva mrityurandhike. Mrityu is standing there. Death is waiting at the doorstep for all of us. And Krishna is saying, aghadam niyamanasya vadyasevana tushtida. Are you not in the same situation like that prisoner waiting in the jail to be hung tomorrow morning? That is Krishna's question. Where is the difference between him and us? This is the point Krishna is making. We are making big, big plans here. Oh, this world is wonderful. I have so many plans going on here. Go here, go there, everywhere. and doing so many things. I'm happy, my family is happy, my society is happy, community is happy, everybody is happy, and we are making money, we are doing well. So all these foolish ideas, Krishna wants to get it off from our head. That's why that example was spoken. Aghadam niyamanasya vadya sevana tushtidam. In Bhagavad Gita, you will see exactly the same thing Krishna is saying. Krishna says that you have to find distress in all these things. We don't see any distress in these things, isn't it? Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, chandi, arjavam, ajayopasanam, shaujam, sthairyam, atmavinigraha, indriyarteshu vairagyam, anahangaram evaja, janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha doshanu darshanam. Krishna says, you have to see dukkham, distress, dosham, in all these things, darshanam. You have to continuously work on this. Janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha doshanu darshanam. This is the basic quality of a person who is trying to advance in spiritual life. He sees these things every moment. He is not disturbed over this because he knows it is the nature of the material body. And he accepts that is where I am, and this is how Krishna is going to be slaughtering me one day. Janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, and I see the distress coming from these four things. What? Birth, death, old age and disease. Shastram is only pointing out this one important point to us, that if we do not understand this, Krishna is saying all your so-called bhakti and this and that, all big halabaloo we make in this world is all useless. Because this understanding is not there. It is from here that proper Krishna consciousness comes. Understanding these things. Janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, doshanu, darshanam. That's why those two lines in Bhagavad Gita is spoken about. Asakti anabhishwanga. Putradhara griha adishu nityamja samachittatvam ishtanishto abhavatishu. In the next verse, Krishna is saying again that seeing this death standing in front of us, seeing death standing in front of us, attachment to putradhara griha adishu, attachment to family, home and children has to be given up. Nityamja samachittatvam ishtanishto abhavatishu. That in all situations, happiness or distress comes and goes one after the other. One is not to be affected by that. That and then ultimately Krishna says, Vaijananya yogena bhakti avyabhijarini vivikta desha sevitvam aradhar janasamsadi. Krishna talks about developing Krishna consciousness as the most important activity, most important duty or responsibility. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartham darshanam. Krishna says there that this adhyatma jnanam or spiritual knowledge, what Krishna has spoken, nityatvam, permanently one holds within oneself, and adhyatma jnanam nityatvam, and always tattva jnanartha darshanam, that he is researching after the truth, tattvam, and cultivating the knowledge in that direction. Krishna says, edal jnanam iti prokta, I call this as knowledge. Ajnanam tadananyatha. Everything else is ajnanam as far as Krishna is concerned. In other words, one who is not developing Krishna consciousness, one who is not finding the solutions to the problems of human life, he is ajnani. As far as Krishna is concerned, he is ajnani. He may be anybody in this world, maybe billionaire or very rich person or very famous person, or have got many talents and every world may be worshipping him. But as far as Krishna is concerned, adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam edal jnanam iti proktam ajnanam tadananyatha. Everything else is ajnanam, pure ignorance, complete ignorance as far as Krishna is concerned. So in the same thing here, Krishna puts it to Uddhava in this way. Konvarta sukhayatyenam kamova mrityurandike aghadam niyamanasya vadyaseva natushtinam. So, having said that, Krishna says, now Krishna is going to talk about heavenly planets. So, this is about this world is concerned. Krishna has spoken what he has to say. By these arguments alone, you can in your own mind judge, is the Mimamsaka's policy true, better, or Krishna's policy is the right understanding. That Krishna is saying there, that if we do not accept these things, and if we go in the Mimamsaka, materialists are partly a Mimamsaka type of people. But on the other hand, difference is that at least Mimamsakas follow the Vedas. Materialists don't have any authority. They just do what they think is right. So, therefore, Krishna don't reject the Mimamsakas completely. Krishna accepted, all the acharyas have accepted Mimamsakas, but only the ultimate realization of the goal is different. The goal, there is a difference of opinion about it. So, now having spoken about this world, especially in Kali Yugam, these things need not be spoken, because whatever Krishna has spoken, we are experiencing day by day, every day, isn't it? Every single day, we are experiencing a lot of distress in this life. So therefore, without Krishna saying, we can easily accept Krishna's verdict on this. Probably in Tridayugam and Dwaparayugam, things are a little different. In Dwaparayugam, because you see, if you look into final verses in the Bhagavatam, it will say, Tridayam yajato makhai. The sacrifices were used as the way to for self-realization in the during the period of Tridayugam. Tridayam yajato makhai. Dwapare parijaryayam kalau tad harikirtanan. Dwaparayugam, deity worship was the most prominent spiritual activity. And in the Kali Yugam, kalau tad harikirtanan, chanting Krishna's holy names, Hare Krishna. So chanting Hare Krishna is the process for Kali. And therefore, why? Because people of Kali Yugam are the most unfortunate in one sense. Why? They experience the maximum distress. Isn't it? They experience the maximum distress. You can see that just for maintaining the belly, you have to work 10-12 hours a day and 40-50 weeks a year. And even then, there is no peace of mind. Even if you're willing to work, when you go to the workplace, they put the spanner somewhere and there's a lot of problems in the work spot. All kinds of problems, but you keep on fighting against his whole life and eventually you lose it at the end. You're not winning it either. That after work so hard, saved up your pension money, and one day the whole pension fund collapses, goes. Whole thing goes. Sometimes when you see some of the letters written by the pensioners, what seeing their plight, their work, they keep writing about it. Pension fund is gone, or the fund they've gone and deposited in bank somewhere else, and that bank collapsed. And now even the county councils are saying their money has gone in so many places. So you can see what is safe in this world. This is what Krishna is saying. That you have deposited, our own council, as they say in the newspaper, 23 million they have deposited in Icelandic funds in Reykjavik in the bank. And they thought they have lost everything. Now they are saying they are getting back something out of it. So the taxpayers' money, it's gone like this. So what I'm saying is, that what is permanent in this world, even the government is not permanent, your money is not permanent, banks are not permanent, you are not permanent. So what are we all fighting against each other for? This is what Krishna is asking. Krishna is saying here that atrabi that material world, this is what is on offer, this is what's offered on this world. And to try to develop a lot of happiness in this world is not, as far as Krishna is concerned, a very intelligent philosophy. Krishna's philosophy is to come to terms with it, what's going on here, and become a little bit more sensible and become Krishna conscious and take advantage of the human life. That's all Krishna is saying. That importance is Krishna consciousness, nothing else. All other things are coming and going. Agama vaya nunityam, come and goes, comes and goes, one after the other. Sometimes you are rich, sometimes you are poor. In the Telegraph paper, it says that the richest man has lost about 25 billion pounds or something like that. He has lost it. So, but still he is the richest in the country. Proportionately, we have all become poor in the same way, isn't it? So what does it mean, all these things? Does it mean anything? But people are reading this and thinking that, oh, I've been so rich one day and now suddenly I become so poor today. What does it mean? Does the rich man also think like that? He has lost 20 billion. We have lost probably 20,000 rupees or 20,000 pounds or something. That's all the differences. But both are losers at the end. The rich or poor. They're all losing. So all these false concepts of wealth, false concepts of life is causing a lot of problems in this world. And we suffer from all these things at the end. So what Krishna is saying here is, in this world, all your activities will be on that platform. Shutam jadashtavadrashtvam sperdha asuya atyayam avyayai bhakvandaraya kamatval krishivachabhinishpalam. Next verse, 21. Now, there is another world which is the heavenly planets. You have not heard about it. He said, you only heard about it, you don't know about it, isn't it? That's what Krishna is saying. So Shrutam Cha Drishtavat Adrishtam. Then you have seen, you heard about it, and you know a lot of things about heavenly planets, more information we have than the spiritual world. Spiritual world we have very little information. But heavenly planets we have little more information than that. We know about the Parijata flowers there. Then what is that? That touchstone, which is called Chindamani, Kalpavruksham, and the Apsaras women, and so many things are there in the heavenly planets, isn't it? So heavenly planets, we have a little more information. What we have, what we can do there. So Krishna is making fun of that. He's saying here, Sudanjadushtavadrishtvam sparadha suya atyam avyayayim. Then you don't know what goes on there, he says, in that heavenly planets. We only see the positive things, isn't it? Because we are thinking that if we go there, oh, so many things to enjoy. But in the process of that enjoying, how much stress you have to take, that what Krishna is going to say here. He say here, spardha. Spardha means that feeling each other of envy. Each other, feeling enviousness towards each other. Asuya. Asuya means jealousy. Jealousy. Atyayam vayam. That how quickly everything going to get spent there. You've gone from here, you have gone there very carefully with all the pious results in the hand for all the sacrifices you have done here. You got all the results packed and kept it in your belt or packet nicely to pay the bills there when you get there. You have to pay the bills there also. Not, it's no paying, escaping from that. So when you go there, Krishna says there, when you start getting the bill and the cost with the currency what you have brought, you're going to get a shock there, he says. And then, even if you try to enjoy there, all the problems from the competitors there, so many other people have come to enjoy there. And when you see all that, Krishna is saying that it is something similar to agriculture, Krishna says. In agriculture, what happens? Agriculture is not completely, the results is not in our hand, isn't it? Every farmer knows this. He has done everything right. He has tilled the land, he has sown the seeds, he has used the proper fertilizers, everything. And then he has to wait till Mother Earth gives the results. And suppose by chance the rain fails, or excessive heat, or excessive water, the whole crop can be destroyed. So in other words, the result is not guaranteed, isn't it? For a farmer's life is like that. He does everything, results may come, but it can go also, may not come either. So similarly, Krishna is saying here that you have done all these things thinking that you are going to be happy there, but when you start experiencing the distress in the heavenly planets, you will probably start thinking, is it worth all these things? All these things are spoken in the Bhagavadam only with one goal. In order to, Bhagavadam is a three things we mentioned in Bhagavadam before, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. So vairagyam is not only in this world, vairagyam to heavenly planets also has to develop inside. Therefore Krishna is pointing out all these things to us. This is the reason why it's spoken in the Bhagavadam. Somehow or the other to develop that vairagyam towards everything in this world, not only to here but even to the heavenly planets. Because many people will think that even if I lose out here, let me make it there. So Krishna wants you to cut off that idea also in our head. Somehow, because you know the story of Indra. Indra was happy everywhere, wasn't he? Indra was living in the heavenly planets and enjoyed his life in the heavenly planets with the Apsaras women singing, Apsaras women dancing, and the music, and so many people to obey the orders. Indra's life was blissful in the heavenly planets. Once Indra had to come down here in the form of a hog. We talked about this before. So when he came as a hog here, he had to go through a life here as a hog. But as a hog, he enjoyed it so well. Eventually when he was told, when his time was over, Narada Muni asked Indra to come back, saying that Indrani is waiting there for you. Our Indra's reply was, I am happy here in my family life. Why should I leave this? So similarly, that the nature of the conditioned soul in under conditioned state is it will try to find happiness wherever it goes. You can notice that. Wherever it goes, it will try to find happiness in that situation. He will accept it that everything else I can't do anything, but let me be happy in this condition. So if we take that attitude, Krishna is saying here that in this world you are trying to be happy, you are not able to become happy. Then you are thinking of making plans to go to heavenly planets. There again you will become unhappy because of the various problems in the heavenly planets. Sparda, Svaya, Atyayam, Avyayam, what Krishna is saying here. Prapavachabi, Krishivachabi, Nishpalam. Just like agriculture, it can all go in the wrong way. The results can go in the wrong way. So, Andaraya vihado yadi dharma sunishtidaha tena vinurjidam sthanam yadagachati tachranum. Krishna says here that don't take those things very seriously if you think like that. If you think that there is more happiness in the heavenly planets, Krishna says, therefore heavenly planets are better than the earthly planets. Don't take like that, because there is destruction there also in the heavenly planet. Therefore, surga sukham, the eternal happiness does not exist even in the heavenly planets. Therefore, tenavi nirjidam sthanam yada gacchati tashrunu. Krishna saying, andanayaya vihadom yadi dharma sunishtidaham, that I have executed everything well, but there are problems in the heavenly planets, that heavenly planets also are subject to destruction. That is what he is saying. Now, Krishna is going to talk about 23, 24, 25, 26 verses, some important thing about heavenly planets. What is happening in the heavenly planets? Krishna doesn't want us to stay thinking that heavenly planets is the perfection. Ishtveha devadayatye sor logam yadi ajyaha bunjida devavat tatra bhogan divyan nijarjidan. Then Indra and many other demigods also, they are pleased by the sacrifices you perform here, and the person who executes the sacrifice, Ishtveha devadayatye sor logam yadi ajyaham, and he attains heavenly planets. There also, like the demigods live, these people will go there and live there happily in that kind of happiness like they are experiencing. They can go and live there. Krishna says that is possible. That those who have performed sacrifices here. Supunyo bhajide shubhe vimana upagi yade gandharvair viharan madhye devinam hridya veshadrik. That when you get to the heavenly planets, you are given a specific aircraft to travel. And along with you, so many women, apsaras women, will accompany you, dressed very well. And they will they will give you a lot of happiness, along with the gandharvas, who will glorify you in the aircraft when you travel. Subanyobajide shubre vimana ubhagiyade gandharvair viharan madhye devinam hridya veshadrik. So those who do not have aircraft here, they can have the aircraft there when you get there. Krishna is saying that you will be given an aircraft. Here it's still a many people's desire, isn't it, to have an aircraft. And only thing what happens here, the difference is, here sometimes you hear some people who have got aircraft, they fly one or two people and suddenly it gets crashed and they die and go, that's finished. But this aircraft won't crash. This is the difference between our light aircraft and their aircraft. Supunyobajade shubhre vimana ubhagiyade gandharvair viharan madhye devinam hridya veshadrik. And the facilities that's been given there is not here in this world. So, apsaras women and gandharvas, they won't be there for us here, but there those facilities are offered. So definitely it is a better situation. Sthribhi kama gayanena kingini jalamalina kridanna vedalpavadam surakrideshunaru pradaha. That the aeroplane is not like our aeroplane. That's what Krishna is explaining there. It is nicely decorated, and it will get to the place where you want to get. You don't have to check the engine oil level or these kind of things. All those checking are not required, because these airplanes operate not on a mechanical system. Our airplanes depends on, it has to be serviced and it has to be tested, it has to be checked for terrorists, it has to be tested for so many things, isn't it? All this testing, nothing required there. These airplanes are different than our airplanes. That's what Krishna is saying there. That wherever you desire to go, the plane will take you straight away there. And the women from the heavenly planets, they will accompany you, and you'll be so absorbed in living with them and enjoying their life. Only thing is, you won't know that the time is running out. That's the point Krishna is making. Kridanaveda alpavadam. Alpavadam means he's fall down. He's not conscious of that. Surya akrideshu naruvradaha. That he is busy in enjoying there. Because while enjoying, you forget that, isn't it? It's going to come to an end. It's like holidays also, it's like that. When the last 1 or 2 days come, you become very dull and gloomy. Or it's all come to an end. Only you are spending all this time, now you have to go and earn. So same mood is happening there also. That we will not know that when Indra sends the invoice at the end to the room number, the room man comes and knocks at the door and hands over you the bill, then your face changes, isn't it? The whole thought changes. So that's what. Taval pramodade surge, yaval punyam samapyade, kshina punya badadyarvan, anichan kala chalidaha. Krishna is saying here, yaval pramodade surge, yaval tavat pramodade surge, yaval punyam samapyade. That once you keep on experiencing the result of your pious activities, your bank balance will run out. It will come out. Yeah? And just like when you burn the oil in a lamp, as much as the oil is running out, similarly the oil's life is also, the lamp's life is finished. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, according to the pious results runs out, your time for leaving the place comes. And at that time, even though you don't want to leave, Krishna says, kalam, the time will anichan kalajalida. Kalajalida, kalam, time will decide, not us. Time will decide. Time is another aspect of Krishna. That you have to leave now. In other words, sorga sukham, or happiness in heavenly planets also, is full of anxieties. Now, in the next 2-3 verses, Krishna is going to talk about us. Us means why? Till now, what Krishna has spoken about is those people who have executed karma, Vedic sacrifices, and who have gone to heavenly planets. That's what Krishna is for, not about us. Now from now on, in the next 2-3 verses, Krishna is going to talk about us, who don't follow any rules, any regulations. Adharma rada, sangal asadam va jide ajideendriyaham. Then, and kamalpa kribano lubdha straino bhudavihim sagaha. These are our qualifications. What are they? Asadam. Asadam means people who are very dushtas. Dushtas means very not only dishonest, mind is always going the wrong way, or who engage in sinful activities. They are dushtas. Yadhi adharma radaha. They are adharma radha. They will only think devious way, never straightforward, never truthful, always cheating and lying, and in this way, people who will live like that. Sangat asadam va ajideendriyaham. Due to their association, he's not saying everybody is like that, but due to their association, what happens? Ajideendriya, we cannot control our own senses. We cannot control our own senses. Then kamalpa, lot of material desires, always desiring something to enjoy. What can I enjoy now? What can I enjoy in the evening? What can I enjoy tonight? What can I enjoy tomorrow morning? Like this, constantly planning to make enjoyment as the whole objective in life. Just to enjoy life, that's all. And a lot of frustration comes, but doesn't matter, I'm enjoying still. This way, life goes on for such people. Krishna is talking about such people. This is the general class of population in the world today, isn't it? Because you can see that it fits in very well, the description. Ajinendriya kamalpa kripano lubdhaham. Kripana means here dukhida, and it's always unhappy. So much anxiety has created himself, the human society, and therefore always unhappy. Kripanaham lubdhaham. That is completely surrendered to his desires, unable to control his own mind, always thinking in terms of his sense enjoyment, and therefore he is a victim of his own desires. Desires are controlling him, which means what? Which means that he has to always be in anxiety. He is unable to control his own mind. And strainaha, that he is very much attached to the opposite sex, for men, the women, men. That attachment also. Bhudavihimsagaha, that bhudavihimsaga means constantly giving pain to others, other living entities. Not only animals, but each other also. This is the world, isn't it? All of the people Krishna is talking about is this category in the modern world. So, yad hadarmarada sangal asadama jinendriya kamalma kripano lubdham straino bhutavihimsagaham. That Krishna says their situation is very pathetic. He says it's very pathetic because they have neither heavenly planets to go to. And in this world, they have to come down in their position to the lower species, or they have to go towards the hellish planets. Pashuina vidhina labhya preda bhutaganan yajan narakana vasho jandur gatvaya tulbanam tamaham. That Krishna says here that they have also, sometimes they will act very religious. What do? Pashuina vidhina labhya preda avidhina. Avidhina means not with the proper shastric injunctions. They will sacrifice animals in that, in their religious process. Sacrificing animals for their happiness. Then Predabodaganan Yajan, they have no idea about the truth, they have no philosophical understanding of anything. Simply they behave that performing these rituals of sacrificing animals and thereby God gets pleased and is going to look after me, this kind of false notions about life. Predabodaganan Yajan, because he has no knowledge of the absolute truth of the Supreme Personality, he worships different forms which are not really representing the truth, because he has no understanding. Many religious processes are there like that. They worship so many things without any clear understanding in them. And who is God? What's God's position? What's the relationship between the living entity and Krishna and God? So these things are unknown to them, and therefore they worship all unknown forms, Predam and Bhudam, ghosts and the Bhudam. Bhudam means those who have lost, taken different forms, but not in the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there he is saying here, and they will surrender to that such sinful activity, and the final result will be they will achieve the hellish planets and in hell. Then again they have to come back in other wombs which are completely much more ignorant than what they already have. So in other words, they go down the scale. Pashuina vidhina labhya preda bhutaganan yajan narakana vasho jandur gatvaya tulbanam tamaha. Then Krishna saying, karmani dukho darkani kurvan dehena dei punaha dehama bhajade tatra kim sukham martya dharminaha. Krishna's conclusion is like that. These fools, he says, mudha, that's the word he has used, karmani dukho darkani, that these people are very expert in doing karma. Krishna's point is this, they are very expert in doing in karma. And every karma, dukkodarkhani, karma will only bring dukkham later. Dukkodarkhani, it brings dukkham later. And because why? As you know, Krishna has spoken about the danger of karma stressed about this in the Bhagavad Gita. What will happen is, karma binds us to this world. Karma creates a result. We act in a particular way, result comes from that. If the result is favorable or unfavorable according to our mind, we will react to it. Accordingly, a vasana will be created in us. According to the vasana, you have to accept another body again. And this is called the karma chakram. Krishna explained to us, isn't it? Evam pravartidam chakram nanuvartayadi haya aghayindriya aramo moham parthasajivadi. He says to Arjuna. So there Krishna has spoken very, very emphatically about this danger that comes from karma. Karma has been spoken in depth there. And the same thing Krishna is again repeating here. Karmani dukkodarkani. Who has become happy in this world by executing karma? Krishna is saying there. So, there he says here, Kurvan dehena dehi punam. Then, Kurvan dehena dehi punam. Again, he has to accept another body. That is the result from karma, isn't it? Karma brings only one thing. What is that? It generates new material bodies for us. Few more lifetimes. More karma vasana, prarabdha shariram will come. Another prarabdham, life after life, we have to accept more material bodies. So that karma, Krishna is asking, who will execute, which will generate more and more material bodies? This is Krishna's question to us. Karmani dukho darkani kurvan dehene dehi punaha deham abhajade tatra kim sukham martya dharminaha. He says, where is the happiness in this business of working so hard, creating more karma, accepting more material bodies, going through this cycle life after life, birth and death, old age and disease? Kim sukham martya dharmina. For a human being, where is the happiness in this world? This is Krishna's point. So after saying this, Krishna is saying here about this very powerful factor called time. What a very powerful factor called time. Loganam Logabalanam Madhayam Kalpajivinam Brahmanobibhayam Martor Dubarartha Parayushaham. Krishna says here, if you think that you can be happy still, let me tell you something else. Krishna says, Loganam Logabalanam Madhayam Kalpajivinam. The whole world and all maintainers of this world, they are frightened about my another aspect for Kalam. The time. They are all subjected to that, including Lord Brahma. Including Lord Brahma. That's what he's saying here. Brahmano abhibhayam martho divarardha parayushaha. That Brahma has 100 years old. Isn't it? 100 years is his lifespan. Brahma has got a 100 years lifespan. He has finished 50 years now. This is the 51st year. Brahma's 51st year now. The lifespan of Brahma is calculated. You can see that in the third canto. Talks about Brahma's lifespan. It runs into billions and billions of years. But now, Brahma is getting into anxiety. After I am over 51 now, I will also going to die. So this fear of death exists right up to Brahma Lokam. Not only in this planet. Krishna says, that's what he is saying here. Brahmano abhimayam martho divarardha parayushaha. That two parardham, one parardham is 50 years, another parardham, so purardham and aparardham, two ardham of 50 years each. Krishna says Brahma is God and he is in his 51st year. He is also having the anxiety whether he will get his pension or not. So he is also going through exactly the same way like us, the same anxieties. Although he has got a much higher position, we are under his creation. We have come here in this body. So we have to accept all whatever we are given. But even Brahma has to, Krishna says, he is under fear. His own existence. Why all this is spoken is, Krishna is trying to impress upon us that spiritual life is real. And spiritual life is permanent. Everything else is temporary. Don't waste your time on temporary things. This is the message. That even Brahma, even after reaching that state of consciousness, or that state of, even they are frightened of me. Why? They can only stay till the end of Kalpam. Brahma is also has to go through the same thing. Similarly, although you may think, Krishna says, Brahma's lifespan is very, very long. Ultimately, he is also subjected to the destruction. That what Krishna is saying here, this process of working, pravarti margam, ultimately will be like that. Therefore, Krishna is talking about jnanam. That will come in the later verses. Now, Krishna has spoken about the time. We have to discuss about thing called time next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.